It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord always.
Amen. But it's particularly a blessing for me to be able to espouse the truths that God has written in his divine oracles. Amen.
Amen.
If you're visiting with us this afternoon, I know normally this time of the evening we're all homegrown, but I never want to make the fatal mistake of not addressing those who may be visiting with us. So if you're visiting with us this afternoon, you may notice that we worship a little bit differently than what you've experienced in the past. What you're experiencing is the New Testament pattern of worship. We strive to worship as the apostles did. We're going to speak where the Bible speaks, be silent where the Bible is silent, call Bible things by Bible names, and do Bible things in Bible ways.
Yes.
We believe that salvation is obtained through the preaching of the gospel.
Yes.
That is telling of the story of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you are willing to confess what your heart has been made to believe, we will baptize you in water for the remission of all your past sins, and then God will do his part and add you to his church, the only church you can read about in this Bible, the Church of Christ.
Amen.
Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to spend a very brief amount of time with us on the subject, the Christian's walk. The Christian's walk. Y'all have to bear with me. My grandson called me on the way out the door and told me he had lost his wallet and he had about $200 in it and he was looking for it. And I set my sermon down on the counter and turned around and walked out and forgot it. But I got pictures. I can read. So we're going to see if these new glasses work. We're going to see if these new glasses are working. Amen. Amen. Thank God for technology. Amen. Yeah. We know this church at Ephesus from Acts chapter 17. This is the one that Paul and Simon established in about after, I think the Bible calls it, three Sabbaths there. And they're known for their faith and their zeal there. So this is a letter that Paul is writing back to them. And this portion of the letter addresses what their obligation is as a Christian. It's called the Christian's walk. Let's begin with verse number 17. So I say this, and affirm in the Lord that you are to no longer walk just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their minds. Now, he's already told them. Now, in verse number 1, he says, I say this. Now, he's referencing what he's already told them back in verse number 1. In verse number 1, he says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. I'm going to be using the New American Standard Bible version this afternoon because it's easier for me to teach from. But if you're following along, you should find the same things in your King James version of the Bible. I don't use it because it's any better, because I believe people were getting to heaven from the King James Version long before I was born, and I believe they'll be doing it long after I'm gone. Amen, somebody. Yeah. But what is this walk? You keep hearing the first two scriptures I've read to you this afternoon talked about this walk. What is this walk? There's going to be some construction. There's going to be some exit ramps, going to be some U-turns, going to be some four-way stop signs. All of this stuff that's going on that seems to lead to some places that might be interesting. Maybe you ought to stop and check them out. Yeah, but Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12 says there's a way which seemeth right unto a man.
Amen.
Yeah, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Yeah, there is a right way. And these Gentiles are not on that path. Verse number 20, as we move on. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If you indeed have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former way of life, you are to rid yourselves of the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Paul tells the church at Ephesus, just as Jesus told his disciples, Jesus said, I am the way. the truth, and the light. That's what Paul is telling them. Jesus is the way. Paul tells these Christians not to overdose on things that destroy and corrupt your body. Yeah. He calls it the lust of deceit. But it's not just the immoral behaviors that go on in the bedrooms of our lives that will destroy the physical body. Yeah. It sure is getting quiet. We have to stop eating and drinking those foods and drinks that we know are not good for us. You see, some of us, the only vegetables we get is that little sliver of lettuce that come on that double meat whopper with extra mayo dripping off the side. Yeah. Everything we eat is fried some kind of way. Yeah. If you're not careful, your blood pressure, cholesterol, A1C, and everything else will be sky high. The check engine light on your body is not just on, it's blinking, buzzing, and whistling. And you still got them grandkids on the way to the store looking for a gallon of blueberry cookies and cream. Yeah. You have to rid yourself of these bad habits. How you gonna get somebody to follow you to heaven when your vehicle on the side of the road smoking? Because you won't stop smoking. Yeah. I'm just gonna tell y'all the truth the way I believe it. Verse number 23. And that you are to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And to put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Hold up now, I ain't moving like I'm supposed to. See, if I had pages, this wouldn't be going on. All right, there we go. All right. Brothers and sisters, you also must have the right spirit. That's what that verse is telling us. The Christian walk requires we have a righteous spirit. Yeah. On this journey, you have to be willing to drive the speed limit. We must obey all of the traffic signs. We can't run stoplights, pass traffic up on the shoulder, blowing your horn, throwing them that number one sign finger. You know the ones that you give them when you don't like the way they're driving. Yeah, you can't do that on this journey. That is not the likeness of God. Amen. Yeah, we must make our walk one that somebody might ask us, how can I get where you going? Yeah, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Yeah. Then we have to explain to them what the Bible says about that salvation. Acts chapter 15. Verse number 7 said that when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know that how a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Yeah, that belief is our faith. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Right. So we got to believe some things. We got to have some faith. But then we got to make some changes. I talked about those a moment ago. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5 tell us, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you all likewise perish. Yeah, and that's supported by Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19, which says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now if you are willing to do those things, then we're going to ask you to do something else. We're going to ask you to step forward and make a confession, the same one that the Ethiopian eunuch made when he asked, here is water, what doth hinder me from being baptized? In Acts chapter 8, verse 37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, if you're willing to make that confession. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yep. So yeah, if you're willing to do those things, we're not going to stop right there. I know that many churches will tell you that all you have to do is accept Jesus in your heart as your personal Savior. But that's not what this book says. Amen. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yeah. Then as Paul was on that Damascus road, he was told, and now, why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. Yeah, so we're going to baptize you this afternoon. If you're here and you've heard what I've said, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
He died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. If you're willing to make that confession, that you believe it also, this is going to be the time that we'll ask you to step forward and make that known. If you're here this afternoon and you need prayer for anything that's going on in your life, whether it be sin-filled or not, we ask that you step forward at this time and make that known to us. And also, if you need to make a confession, you know you're living a guilty distance from the Lord, this is also your opportunity. As together we stand and sing the song of invitation.